Yeah, we're not going to change the channel here for a moment, but this morning while the team was getting ready, I was just walking around like I usually do early Sunday mornings. Just, I call it running laps, and I'm praying in this room. I don't really run, I just walk, but just trying to sense what's the Lord doing today, what he desires, what his heart is. And this morning as I was walking, I got back to the back towards the middle of the doors there. I just had this picture of the room. You know, if you put your finger in like a bathtub and you start swirling around, like when you got kids in there and you make like a hurricane. And I was reminded of John 5, where there was a man who needed to be healed. And he was standing at the pool. Remember this story? And at that time, there was this belief that an angel would put his finger in the pool every so often and swirl it around. And the first person that got in there would be healed. And they had proof. They had context to it. And Jesus shows up and said, man, what do you want? What do you want? I want to be healed. And Jesus healed this man. And so today I just had this picture of the Lord just putting his finger in this room and just stirring us up. And specifically that today that we would be a people that step into his love. I know we just sang a beautiful song. The text today, John 15, is all about that. Abiding, being immersed in his love. And so I just want to pray into that today, that we would experience his love, that we would receive his love no matter where you came from today, no matter if you're joining us locally or around the world, whether you had a really great week or you're just limping in here, you're barely getting by. I want to pray this over us, that we would experience his love. And so I'd ask you, what do you want today? What do you desire from the Lord today? Let's give you space. Just tell the Lord today. Today, Lord, I want to be healed. That's a great statement. God is our healer. Today, Lord, I want to be at peace in here so I can bring peace out here. That's a great prayer. Today, Lord, I want to have some joy. I'm telling you, today, the text, if we grab hold of it, it'll lead us to joy. So what is it you want? Jesus says, what do you want? What do you want today? What do you want today? Just tell him right now. Lord, I thank you that, man, just even hearing the voices in this room lifting up our desires to you, that you love it, because when we speak to you and we bring our prayer, our needs to you, we are setting our gaze upon you, which is what you want. You want us to draw near to you, and you promise to draw near to us. And so today, Lord, I thank you that you're stirring up this room and stirring up our hearts to receive your love in a greater capacity. Lord, anchor us deep in your love today. I still believe that you do miracles, signs, and wonders like we sing about. And all of it points to your love. All of it is expressions of your love. And so, Lord, today, even as we're standing, as we're praying, as I'm preaching, as we take communion a little bit, Lord, would you move upon these requests? Because you say we just need a little faith, just a little faith, just the mustard size seed. So, Lord, we offer up these needs, these desires, we ask that you would meet us in them for your glory and our good. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Well, as you're getting a seat there somewhere, we want to do a quick introduction to maybe somebody you may or may not have seen up here. I don't know, have you seen this big burly guy up here before? Have you guys seen this guy? I want to introduce you to a friend of mine, a friend of Jason, and really become a good friend of our entire team. This is Israel. Can y'all say hello to Israel? Yeah. Online, can you give a shout out to Israel here? So Israel Crawford, come on over here, man. Big man. Jason and I are going to get beside you. So Israel has been in and out of leading at our church. He's been leading worship with our kids ministry, I don't know, a couple of years now. I think on and off, you've been jumping in, and as y'all know, and we've been asking you to pray, we have been interviewing for a worship leader role that would be working for Jason. So let me just clarify, Jason's not going anywhere. Everybody say amen to that. Amen. Yes, amen. I could big amen to that. But we recognize that as a church, we've just shifted some things, obviously. You know, over the last couple of years, there's been some different emphases. And one of the things that we feel really called to as a church is that we're a church that the furnace room, the boiler room of our church is worship and prayer. Everything we do is going to be saturated in prayer. It's going to be saturated in worship. And so we've been expanding our worship, and whether that's in this room on Sundays, but also Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at noon in this room, Thursday nights. And Jason and his team have been writing a bunch. Man, we're going to do some great things over the next couple of years. Going to be writing for this house, local house, songs that we're going to sing, and amazing truth. And so with that, we recognize that, man, Jason has done an incredible job for almost 14 years, but he really needed somebody else that he could lean into to help carry on in what God's invited us into. And so we are so excited to announce that we have hired Israel to be part of the team. And yeah, we can clap for that. And we got another out-of-state guy. You know, Jamie's down here. We brought him from Seattle. We brought this guy all the way from Gate City, Virginia. Yes, yes. So local guy, cross state lines, but he's actually probably closer to the church than I live. But what I love about him is his authenticity. You know, one thing we really strive for this church, we want to be real. We don't like the production, the flair, the pomp and circumstance. We want people that really believe what they're singing. People that believe what they're preaching, don't just get up here in a different face and you're going to meet them out in the somewhere else out in the town and they're a different person. We don't like that. It's not a representation of Jesus. So what I love about him is his authenticity, but also his passion for the presence of God, which is why we felt so confident with that, with bringing him on board, man. We're so excited for you, man. You and your wife and kiddos, man, part of our family here. So this is what I'm going to ask you to do, just as we do. We're a church family, the people of God. So I'm going to ask you just to raise up your hand towards Israel. And Israel, I just want you to see, man, you are not only just a team member, you're not just an employee, but you are part of this church. And we're so honored to have you. And so I just want you to have this picture in your head of all these people praying for you. And I would ask you to continue to pray for him and his family as they fully transition in here. And Jason, would you just pray, man, a blessing? Yeah.
Jesus, thank you so much for this new friend of mine. Lord, we just speak blessing in life, favor, anointing. Father, I pray peace and rest over this guy, over his wife, Whitney, and their boys. As they transition into this new community, into this new family. And again, as we look around the room and we see, Father, just the hands extended, Father, I'm so grateful. I'm grateful, God, to welcome him into this family and God, to prepare a beautiful, sweet road ahead of us as a church, and as a community, Father, in worship and prayer centered around you, King Jesus.
Yes.
Centered around you. So I just pray joy, I pray life. Fill this guy up as we get ready. As we get ready, Father, to see the great things you're going to do. I'm honored and I'm thankful in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Can we give it up one more time for Israel joining us? Thank you, man. Yeah, man. With that, let me just encourage you too. So every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we've been doing that since, I don't know, man, can you believe it's been a year since the pandemic has taken place in our country and things changed in dramatic ways. But one of the things we had been hoping for a while before even the pandemic was that we would be a place where people could gather, not just on Sundays, but that our community could gather to worship, to sit in God's presence, to pray. And so we started this, man, a year ago. And so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in this room. And you're like, what do at worship and prayer? Well, we worship and we pray. You say, what else do we do? Like, we worship and we pray. But I want to maybe break down a little bit. I want to encourage you. That doesn't mean that you have to come in here and you've got to sing, actually. Here's what I do a lot of times. Is I'll come in here, let's say a Monday. Well, actually, I'm usually leading on Monday, but on a Tuesday or Wednesday, and I'll just sit in the room and I'll have my sermon out and I'll just be working, just taking in the beauty of the songs that are being sung, the prayers that are prayed. And so, man, if you've got time in your workday just to take a break, and you just want to take a deep breath in the Lord, I'd encourage you, just stop by. You don't have to come for the whole hour. Come for 5, 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Bring your work. Just enjoy his presence. And then Thursday nights, we're here at 6:30. And really is the heart of our church. That's not just lip service. We really endeavor as a leadership team, as a board, as a staff, to be a people that really give ourselves first and foremost to the Lord, that we minister to his heart through worship and prayer. And so this is one of the ways that we're going to do that. And Israel and Jason are incredible leaders, and I'm excited to see them work together. If you have your Bible, I'd love for you to grab it. We're going to be in John 15 as we continue walking with Jesus, looking at the words that he said in his last few days on the earth. I got to tell you, I'm really, really excited to preach today. Oh my goodness. So I'm gonna try to talk a little slower because I know when I get worked up, I speak really quickly. And here's the challenge as a person who studies and shares is I've got the advantage. I've been sitting in this all week long and y'all are just now hearing it for the first time. So sometimes it's like a fire hose. Anybody else feel that way? And so I've got a lot of things to say. God willing, I'm gonna get through most of it. We'll see what happens today. But if you don't hear anything else today, I want you to hear what we just sang in that song. Man, he loves you. Man, he loves you. He loves you, he loves you, he loves you. And today we're gonna see the text where Jesus speaks. We've been looking at the last few days of Jesus' life on the earth before he was killed on the cross and before he was resurrected. So each week we're marching through a different chapter of John. Last week we looked at John 14. Today we're gonna be in John 15. If you wanna prepare for next week, I would encourage you to open up your Bibles this week, read John chapter 16. A couple of my favorite passages in the scripture is John 16, the beginning parts there. And so we're gonna be there next week. And today I wanna look at what Jesus says specifically. Now remember, he is speaking into a group of people that are a little fearful. We can all attest to some of that going on in the world right now. A group of people that a little let down. And like I said last week, there's some trouble stirring up in their hearts. And so Jesus is meeting them in the whirlwind of their life right now, in the fears and the chaos and the unknown. He's meeting them and he's teaching them, how do we navigate through that? How do we actually have peace in the middle of a storm? How do we have hope in the midst of hopelessness? How do we be a people of light in the midst of a world that's getting really dark? This is what Jesus is teaching us. So I'm gonna read the first 11 verses of John 15. And then by God's grace, I'm gonna open up the scriptures for us. So join me here, John 15, starting in verse 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I spoke to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like the branch and it withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. And so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, here it is, so have I loved you. So abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. It's the word of Jesus today for us, the lines of red. So today I want to talk about abiding. I want to talk about what does that look like. I want to talk about pruning today. And I want to talk about fruit today. So first, let's get some definitions on the table. When we say the word abide, what do we mean in this context? What is Jesus talking about in this beautiful metaphor of these plants and vines and vine dressers? And it says, if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. Well, the word abide in the original language means to remain with, to dwell with. It signifies connection. So as the branches are connected to the vine, they are abiding because they're connected. In the word, it insinuates intimacy. It insinuates this picture that I said last week, that Jesus is in the Father and the Father is in him. It's this right here. And he says, now you are in me and I am in you. And so this is what Jesus desires. He doesn't want this. He doesn't even want this. He wants this in your life and my life. He wants us to be intertwined with him, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and you. Whew. So this word abide, it means to remain. It means dwell with. It's an intimacy picture that Jesus is using this agricultural illustration to prove what he desires for you and for me and for these disciples. So what does abiding require? Well, my Baptist roots came out a little bit, and so I came up with four A's. You guys been in a Baptist church, all those alliterations? Yes. Some of y'all are laughing because y'all know what that means. But so here's what I think abiding requires. We're going to go after this today. So number one, to abide with first requires awareness. You can't abide with someone unless you're aware that they are there. And so for us to abide with God, we have to first be aware that his presence is with us. And then as we are aware of his presence, we then have to actually give him focused attention. It's one thing to recognize somebody is with me in the room. It's another thing to actually set my gaze and set my ear to them. And so attention is required if I'm going to abide. I know you're here, God, and I'm going to look to you. I'm going to listen to you. And then the third one is access. Access. In order for us to abide with God, we got to first recognize that you and I have access to God. And that requires religion to be broken off of us. You and I have complete access to the Father through Jesus. Anybody agree with that? You and I have access, but here's the other part of access. It also, for us to abide with Christ, this is the whole essence of what he's saying. In order for us to abide with Christ, yes, I recognize he's in the room, I'm aware, my attention is on him, I recognize I have access, but here's the hard part, and this is where I want to go today, is that we also have to open up and give him access to us. Give him access to speak to my heart, to teach me, to show me things. In order to do that, I've got to trust him. And I've got to believe that he is good and that he intends for my good. Because if I don't believe that cornerstone of our doctrine, that God is good, then this is what I'm going to play it really safe. And I'm going to say, God, you stay at arm's length because I really don't trust you. But if I'm going to abide with you, if I'm going to be one with you, I've got to open up my holy of holies, my inner man. I got to open up and be honest and be truthful and allow him to speak. And then the last one is so critical, and we're going to go hard after this one today. To abide means that we also have to align. Just real straight, that means that you and I are going to have to change some things if we're going to continue to walk with the Lord. He's inviting us to be with him. And so for us to abide with him, it requires us to align. And Jesus says that he even did this. He says this at the end. He says, I have kept the Father's commands. Jesus was always aligned with the Father. He was always dependent upon the Father. And so he set the model for what does it look like to abide. If you want to know what abiding looks like, look at the life of Jesus. Never once separated, always like this. And he said, I've always done what the Father has said. And now, Derek, I'm inviting you to walk the way I walk. To abide, to open yourself up, to have access to God, for you to have access, to give him access, and for you then, as you hear his voice, to align with him. And so what he's inviting us to is, I want you to depend on me, Derek. I want you to trust me. And this is the incredible thing that Jesus invites us into. He has already done it because he said, I only do what the Father has shown me he's doing. And I only speak what the Father is speaking. So Jesus lived a lifestyle completely yielded to the Father. And now in this text, he's saying, this is what it looks like to navigate through your fear. This is what it looks like to navigate through the trouble that's in your heart. This is what it's going to look like for you to navigate the world. It is that you're going to be aware of me. You're going to give me your attention, that you're going to give me access, and that you're going to align with me. This is at the core of what abiding means. Now, in this text, if you have your Bible, he says something interesting out the gate here. He says, the branches that bear fruit in verse 2, that he prunes, that they would actually bear more fruit. Today, I want you to see that abiding one with God actually invites pruning. Now, some of you are like, man, I'll pass on the abiding part if it means pruning. But as we abide with God, this is what we see. It actually positions us to be pruned by God. Now that pruning term, we think, oh, negative. That sounds painful, right? But what I want you to see about pruning, this is where I really want to flip our thinking about what this means, is that God's pruning isn't punishment. Can somebody nod their head with that? His pruning is not punishment. It's actually the reward. Think about that. It's the reward for bearing fruit. So think about that. So if I don't bear fruit, I should not expect the Lord to actually prune me. But if I bear fruit, now we're going to get into all the details. You're like, what fruit am I bearing? Am I a fruitcake? That's a lot of Christians, a fruitcake. Well, not that kind of fruit. We're going to get into that a little bit. But he says, if you bear fruit, you can expect that the Lord will prune you so that you actually bear more fruit. So there must be something more to this pruning that maybe we've missed in the past. See, what I believe is that God's pruning is actually his provision to position us for growth. That his pruning is his provision to position us for growth, to position us for increase, to position us for advancement, promotion. Anybody want that in their life? Anybody? I want that. I guess I'm the only one. I'll take all the provision, all the promotion in the room. Yeah, I see you back there waving your hand. I see you. God wants us to increase. He does. Do you know that about God? He's always about increase. It says, I know you're bearing fruit, Derek, but here's what I do. I'm gonna prune you back so that you can actually bear more fruit. Now when we look at the text, there's some interesting things. In verse 2, he says, I prune those that bear fruit so that they can bear more fruit. But then in verse 3, he said, you are already clean. I think I've got the slide here. If you can throw this next slide up here. So we have two words. We have the word prune here. I'm maybe going to try to say this in the original Greek. And then we've got the word clean, which is in verse 3, which is katharos. Now, what's interesting about both of these words, when we read prune and clean, we don't really see the connection. But the original language, these words are almost one and the same. So the original language, this word prune, it means to cleanse of impurity. And then in verse 3, it says, you're already clean because of the word that I've spoken over you. That word means to clean, to purify. But actually, if you look down, if you look at Strong's Concordance and Strong's, it actually says that it's another word for prune. Ooh. So he says, I prune those that are bearing fruit so they can bear much fruit. But then he says in the next verse, you've already been pruned clean because of the word that I've spoken over you. Ooh. So the question we should ask today, what does it mean when God prunes us? Like, that sounds super abstract, sounds super out there, but what does it mean if we say God prunes us and it's actually positioning us for promotion? It's positioning us to actually see more fruit in our life. Well, here's the link between the two, is that his word, everybody say word, his word prunes us and prepares us to bear more of his fruit. So how does the Lord prune us? He speaks to us. How does the Lord cleanse us and purify us and make us and position us for more fruit? He speaks words to us as we give him access to our, he speaks to us. And as we align, we're positioned to bear more fruit. And so the voice of God is essential if we're going to abide with God. And the pruning of God is dependent upon us receiving his word. Whew. So the Lord speaks a word. He prunes us. And he does it from a place of deep love. You know, we hear jokes about cat ladies. I love me some cat ladies. Anybody in the house, they don't raise your hand. It's okay. But my wife's not a cat lady. She is a plant lady. We got any plant ladies in the house here today? My wife, she is a dog lady for sure. She loves our dog. But she, over the last couple years, has become a plant lady. And so what's happened over the last couple years is we are getting more and more plants in our house. You know, when you have kids, you know, there's two, usually it takes two to make that decision. You know, when you have kids, well, this is what I found out about having more plants is that it only takes one and a credit card. And so little by little, we've gone from no plants in our house to, I think, I don't even know what number we have in our plant. I just know every couple months we have a new plant, and usually that plant comes with a name. You guys know what I'm talking about. And this is what I know about my wife, and I love this, is she loves her plants. Oh my goodness. She cares for her plants. She tends to her plants. She thinks about her plants when they're not with her. She does. And this is what she does too. Sometimes she'll get out the little shears and she'll begin to trim off perfectly looking good plants. And from an outsider's perspective, you're like, man, that's kind of cruel. I thought you said she loved them. Why is she cutting them up? But you guys know the analogy Jesus is using. She loves her plants so much that she wants to pull back some to allow there to be new growth, for allow there to be more health, so they can bear even more fruit, so they can actually be even healthier. And this is what the Lord wants for you and I. He loves you so much, he wants so much for you that he's willing to cut back, trim back with his voice in your life so that you can bear much fruit. He wants to cut off the things that are gonna lead you to death. He's gonna cut off the things that are gonna lead you to emptiness. He wants that for you and for me because he desires that we would bear much fruit because it glorifies the Father and it proves that I am his disciple. He wants that for your life. He wants you to bear fruit. And so he will use his voice, he will speak into our lives, and he will offer us to prune, to cut back, so that we can bear much more fruit. And this week, you know, I love when you preach and you study this, you get to experience sometimes and live out the text before you teach it. And this week, I experienced some of this pruning. So just a moment of transparency. Like many leaders, maybe like some of us in this room, there is a tendency to compare what I do to somebody else. I know none of y'all ever do this, so it's not I'm having my own counseling session here, but you know, there's a tendency to look at somebody else, to look at another dad, to look at another husband, to look at another provider, to look at another church, to look at another pastor. And something triggered me about two weeks or so ago where I started just taking the bait of the enemy where he dangles in front of me. This is where he usually tries to attack me and trying to get my eyes off of what he's got for me. And he tries to get my eyes on somebody else. Does anybody else relate to this? Anybody else? If you're on social media, you totally understand this world, right? And so about two, three weeks ago, I felt like, man, I didn't recognize in the moment, but I started to lean into some comparison, and I started to have some just down. I was kind of heavy, and I didn't recognize it, and these are the words that I start hearing, and I say these all the time because this is my real life that I navigate with the Lord. I hear these words from the enemy of my soul, from your enemy: you're not enough, Derek. What are you doing? What kind of leader are you? And so I hear these voices, and for 2 weeks, I would say, I was kind of just heavy. And what was happening in my life, I had a branch in my life that was not gonna bear any fruit. Now, here's the thing about our branches in our life. Sometimes there's branches in our life that have a lot of leaves but are never going to bear fruit. And the world says, man, that's a healthy branch. Whew. Our first house we bought, it was on 5 acres and this little ranch house. And in the back of it had like a little orchard. When I say orchard, it had a couple apple trees, a peach tree. And sometimes there would be branches that looked really healthy but never bared any fruit. And so what would I do? I would cut those off so that the energy of the tree could go to those that were gonna bear fruit, right? And so here's what happens in our life, that sometimes, I'll just be honest, comparison can kind of lead us to do some really great things. That chip on our shoulder, we can do some incredible things in the eyes of the world. There can be success, and yet that branch, it never bears fruit. It never does. And so just this week, I recognized, I'm a little slow when it comes to the Lord sometimes, I recognized what my wife had been telling me for 2 weeks. Anybody else, men, recognize that too? And I recognized that, man, I leaned into a lie. And so here's what I did. Real simple. This is what abiding looks like, abiding 101. I shifted my eyes off of all the things that I felt like I wasn't, the different people that I was comparing myself to and the church to and my family to. I did that. And I said, God, what do you say? Because how does he prune us with his what? A little louder. How does he prune us? with his word. He speaks to us. And so I said, God, here's the situation. Here's the truth. I'm telling you the truth. What do you say about it? And here's what I felt like the Lord said in this moment. I'll never forget. I was in my bathroom, maybe TMI. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to know about this situation? What do you want to speak? And I felt like he said this, Derek, don't turn to the left or turn to the right. Keep your eyes ahead and keep walking. And then he said, Derek, I love what these other people are doing. But I didn't call you to what they're doing. And I didn't call them to what I've called you to. You be faithful. And let me tell you, there was like a burden lifted off of me in a moment. So this is what abiding looks like. Abiding is in the moment I recognize, man, my eyes have went over here. My heart, my affections are over here. I feel down. I feel the darkness. So in that moment, I don't look for somebody else. I don't look within. I set my gaze on God. I say, God, what do you want me to know? What do you say about me? And I allow his word to wash over me, to sanctify, to allow me to become more like him, for allow me to be all that God designed him to be. Is this making sense today? And so he speaks to us and he prunes back all that's not gonna bear fruit. And it's in his grace. Now, I've used this word fruit a bunch, so what in the world am I talking about when I say fruit? This word fruit, it literally means to display or manifest the heart of God. I'll break it down. Fruit is God's desire for you. It's his desire and he wants it for you because in our bearing fruit, the world actually experiences his heart. And so fruit is twofold, and you're gonna see this throughout the scriptures. So the fruit is twofold. It's first, we see in Galatians chapter 5, it's the character of God is the fruit of God, but it's also the works of God. So we don't have either or, it's actually both. So if you go to that slide here, move forward a little bit. So the fruit of God is the character of God plus the works of God. It's not either or. It's not just I have the godly character in my life, but I lack the power of God. No. It's not just I have the power of God, but I have no integrity, no grace, no mercy. No, it's the two go hand in hand. This is the works of God that he's speaking of, that we would bear much fruit. So the fruit of God, God's character, we see Galatians chapter 5, the next slide here. We have this list of nine characteristics. Now, I want to make sure we understand this list is not an all-inclusive list. It's a representative list of the character of God. How many of you know the character of God is much grander than nine things? Some of you are like, it is. Okay, so here's the line. Character of God, this is Galatians chapter 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Go to the next slide. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the character traits of God. This is the fruit of God. He wants these in your life, but he doesn't just want these. He also wants the works of God in your life because the works of God is the fruit that he desires in your life. And so if we go back to the first slide, what are some of the works of God? Not all of the works of God, but if we look to Jesus, who fully embraced and was the character of God fully, he also had the works of God. And so he said the work of God is to believe. Did Jesus believe in the Father? Some of you are like, yes, he did. Okay, we're on the same page. The works of God also to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons, to give hope to the hopeless. Go to the next slide. To minister to the poor, to the forgotten, to the least of these, to forgive others, to proclaim the kingdom of God, that the king has come and he's coming again. This is what Jesus shows us are the works of God. And this is the fruit that he desires that it would be in your life. The character and the works of God. That's why in 1 Corinthians 13, we see tons of a beautiful picture of love. He says, listen, if you have faith to tell a mountain to be thrown into the sea, but you have not love, you're nothing. It's worthless. So I would say, man, that's an amazing work of God. If I could tell that mountain, hey, Bays Mountain, jump into, what's a lake around here? Watauga Lake. That's an incredible work of God. But apart from love, if I don't have the character of God with that, it's nothing. Ooh. Or what James says is faith without what? Works is what? Dead. It's useless. It's not active. See, it's not one or the other. He actually desires you to have the character of God and the fruit of the works of God in your life. And so he says, listen, I want you to bear much fruit. And in so, you will glorify me, and the world will know that you are my disciples. Oh, does anybody else want the world to know that Jesus is King? Oh man, I want that like no other. And I want to bear fruit. And so that means that I've got to open myself up to be aware that God is with me, to set my attention like I did in that moment. I set my attention not on the things around me, but on God. God, what are you saying? God, will you speak to me in this moment? And then to align, or that word repent means to change our mind, to align with God. This is the life of abiding. And it leads us to much fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And I love that it's a natural occurrence, not a forced occurrence. You know, a grape does not sit there on the vine and say, oh, I want to be a grape. Make me a grape. Make me a grape. Make me a grape. I declare in the name of Jesus, I am a grape. I'm all around declarations. I love that. But listen, the fruit of God comes from being with him and saying yes to him. It's not a white knuckle. I got to do it. No. God, here I am. Teach me to walk in your ways. Teach me. I want to follow you. I want to be your disciple. I want to learn what it looks like to be connected to the Father as I'm filled with the Spirit, walking the earth, declaring and proclaiming and demonstrating your kingdom. Lord, teach me. I want to be with you. This is what Jesus is speaking about here. And then he ends this chapter in a beautiful piece here. He ends this chapter by giving us what I think is even a greater fruit than the works of God and the character of God. In chapter 15, a little bit later, verse 14, he says, you are my friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. There's that alignment piece. There's 15. I love this. And this is so important. This whole passage, I think it's so important to our church. Actually, I chose this passage. I was invited to read a scripture and to record it for something a bunch of churches in our area are doing, what we're praying over our region. And I read this passage this week. I recorded it and sent it to them. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friend. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. What's that? He's speaking. Heard the Father speaking. Who now is doing that? He said the Spirit of God will speak, will hear, and will speak. He's doing that today. Because you know what the Father, I have made known to you. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Anybody grateful that God chose us? Oh my goodness. We want to make it about us. No. He chose you. He chose you. And I appointed that you should go and bear fruit. His desire for you and for me is that we would walk in the character of God when we leave this place. That we would walk in the character of God when we post on social media. That we would walk in the character of God when we have disagreements within our family. That we would walk in the character of God when we talk about politics. We would have the works of God in our lives, that we would believe that he still does amazing things, that we would forgive those that offend us, that we would extend mercy and grace. He says, I desire that you bear much fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. In verse 17, he says, these things I command you so that you will love one another. And the fruit of the Spirit is what proves that we are his disciples. And what did Jesus tell the disciples? He said, listen, the way that you love one another, they'll know that you're mine. Oh, man. You know, this is my desire, that our church is not known for great music. It's not good. It's not known for a pastor that wears a t-shirt and preaches. I hear that one a lot. We're not known for having a beautiful building. We're not known for having beautiful property. But above all else, we're known as a people who love well, that we empty ourselves out for other people, that we'll die for our enemies. I no longer call you servants, because servants know not what the master is doing, but now I call you friends. You know what that means? that means that you and I have the ability to know what the Father's doing. We have access to his heart. We have access to his mind. And as his followers, what he's invited us to do is to reveal him on this earth, just as Jesus did. You and I carry the ministry of Jesus to walk this earth as we go wherever we go, to bear fruit, so people experience Jesus on this earth, so they hear the words of truth and love and mercy and grace, that people would experience healing, forgiveness, deliverance. And he says, I've called you, friend. And so today we're going to take communion. So I want to go ahead and have you grab your communion elements. If you're with us at home, and I'd encourage you to get some grape juice or maybe get a little wine and get a piece of bread or cracker. Just a moment, I asked the band to sing a song, and we're just gonna stay seated today. Actually, this song is such a beautiful song. I want us to just sit in this moment. The song is entitled Communion, and it's really a song that captures the heart of John 15, that we would be one, that we would be friends of God, that we would be in fellowship with God, and that we would be with him. This idea of witness, that we would dwell with him. And that's why I love that we're taking communion today, as we're talking about abiding, as we're talking about being with and bearing much fruit, because it's what we see is that Jesus, he gave us access to the Father. Oh, man. Hebrews, I believe, chapter 4 says that we enter into the throne room of God with boldness because of the blood of Jesus. So Jesus, with his life, with his death, with his resurrection, and he opened up the way, and he ripped open the way that we could come to the Father, that we would be one with him, that we could be a friend of God. So today, maybe you haven't recognized or haven't thought about that for a while, that God calls you his friend. Or maybe today you're like, man, I don't even feel like I know God. Well, we're going to take communion in a moment. And I want you to look at this, and I want you to actually see these elements. These elements are a beautiful picture. It's another metaphor that Jesus gives. Just like the vine, the branches represent our relationship with him, this is representative. The bread is his body, and this juice here is his blood. And he has given himself to us that we could be one with Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So as we're taking it, let's take it with some joy, knowing that, man, it's not based on our acts. It's not based on our white-knuckling it. It's not based on us trying to do anything. It's based today on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And let's just take a deep breath in that. He's inviting us to follow him. We don't have to work up the fruit. He just says, man, if you'll stick with me and you'll learn my ways, man, I'm telling you, Derek, you'll bear much fruit. But stick with me. Keep your eyes on me. And listen to me. And then obey me. So the night that Jesus was betrayed, he had his disciples together for a meal. And he held up the bread. He said, this is my body that's going to be broken for you. He blessed it and he passed it out. Take and remember me. Let's take and remember the body of Christ that was given for us. In the same way, at the same meal, he held up a glass of wine. He said, this wine, it's the picture of the new covenant. The old way of relating to God through the animal sacrifices, that there is an end now to that. I am the lamb that's spotless and perfect that's going to be slain for you. So let's take and remember the grace of God through Christ. Jesus, I thank you today that you modeled for us what it looked like to be one with the Father, to abide, Lord, I pray this often, but would you give our church the capacity to have big ears to hear your voice? Lord, I pray that we would trust you, that we would lean into you, that we would set our gaze and our attention on you, that we would ask you questions, that we would listen, and that you would prune that in our lives that are not going to bear any fruit. Lord, I thank you that your desire is that we would be one with you, that we would have intimate knowing of you, that we wouldn't just talk about you, we wouldn't just read you on a page, but we would actually live with you, breathe you in, walk with you, see you, hear you, express your kingdom on this earth. So Lord, I pray even during this song, as we're sitting, taking in the beauty of the melody, the beauty of the truth, the power and the truth, that you would actually woo us closer, that you would pour out the love of the Father through your Spirit, even as the song is being played. Lord, this week, may we walk as your friends, that we would trust you, that we would declare you, proclaim you, and demonstrate your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven.
Take me back to the garden, lead me back to the moment I heard your voice. Take me back to communion, lead me back to the moment I saw your face. And it was so, so simple, it was easy to love. It's easy to trust, and you are closer, closer than my skin. You are in the air I'm breathing. Here's where the dead things to living, I feel my heart beating again. It feels so good to know you are my friend.
This is the garden. Here in the place, I'll find you close. This is coming. I'm fully known.
Jesus, that seems like enough to say is just to say, Jesus, we are so overwhelmed by your love. We're so overwhelmed by who you are. We're humbled and we're thankful and we're grateful and we're consumed. Thank you for meeting us here, for being ever present, for getting ready to get up and leave and go with us wherever our feet trod. Lord, we love you. We just love you because you loved us first. In your most holy name, we pray that we bring glory to you. Amen. How good is the Lord? Yeah, how good is the Lord? Before we leave today, I would like to share a couple of things with you. One is, if you've been around for a little while, or maybe you've been around for a long while, and you just find yourself with some questions or the desire to get to know Christ Fellowship a little bit better, next Sunday at 11 o'clock, we are going to have what we call the Intro to CF. And so we would love for you to jump on the website, jump on the app, and sign up to join us for a kind of behind-the-scenes looks at everything that goes on here, to talk to you about our beliefs and our values. And we would love to share the heart of Christ Fellowship. So if you want to come to that, sign up and join us. And then also today, our new director of community outreach, Jamie Winship, is going to be here at 4 o'clock, and you are invited, if you have any interest whatsoever in outreach, if you would just love to hear what Christ Fellowship is planning to reach out into this community, to our nation, to the rest of the world, come at 4 o'clock today right here in the auditorium and join Jamie for a conversation about that. For now, if you would remain seated just until the ushers come and release us by rows, you go out and have a very blessed day.